Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. I ministered this morning on the first half of this, on part of it, because what we have here in Luke 10 is really a preview before the cross, before the resurrection, of what the church is supposed to be like. I mean, these men had no opportunity to be born again yet. Jesus has not yet been glorified. He's not yet been raised from the dead. So they can't be born again and have the nature of God on the inside. But Jesus has already been crowned the last Adam. And that happened at the baptism of John. And I'm not going to reteach that again, but just to see, you know, most of you know already, when he was baptized and laid in the water, positionally, that was the death of Adam. He didn't die for his own sins. He died for the sins of Adam. So when he was laid down into the water, that's a type of the grave. A gavel, if you'll allow me, came down in heaven. Well, the first Adam is dead. Well, if the first Adam is dead, that dominion went with him. So now God's free to reassign that dominion to another Adam. Who would be a good candidate? Oh, let's raise my son from the dead here. When Jesus rises up out of the water, that's a type. Not just exactly a type. That's really his trust, a demonstration of his faith. Father, you're not going to leave my soul in hell. Neither will my flesh see corruption. I'm trusting you. You're going to raise me from the dead. So, in the courtroom of heaven, you could say it this way. The gavel comes down. The first Adam is dead. All right? Who are we going to assign dominion to now? Here's the second man, my son, the last Adam. Holy Spirit, now let him have dominion over all the works of my hands. And that's why you see the Holy Spirit coming and descending upon him. And another thing I really like that I saw just recently, Jesus is always called the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word was manifested among us. But see, he was always the Word from the time he was born, growing up. He's the Word. That empowered he himself to walk sinless. But he never did any miracles. Not until he was joined together with the Holy Spirit. So it's not just Word, and it's not just Spirit. It's the Word and the Spirit agree. Ooh. I've known a lot of Word people that wouldn't know the Holy Ghost if he walked in and had a red top hat on that had written on it, I am the Holy Ghost. They'd go, who are you? They don't know who he is, you know. Don't know much about him. But then right on the other hand, I've known a lot of, Spirit people. Don't have any Word. Wouldn't know their rights. Wouldn't know what to do if the devil attacked, you know. And yet, and they love God. All those people love God. The devil don't care if you love God, as long as he can kill, steal, and destroy. He'll still run you over. He'll just run you over. Say, love God? I'm going to run you over. Don't love God? I'm going to run you over too. That's all that he knows is how to steal, kill, and destroy. So what we see here, and I summarized quickly this morning, the first part of this, Jesus sends out the 70. Of course, there's a type of that in the Old Testament, Moses in the 70 that, you know, the 70 judges and all of that. But really looking forward, this is a type of what's supposed to happen with the church. I mean, they're not Jesus, but they're appointed by Jesus. Basically, he is placing his mantle of authority on them. Or let me say it another way. Whatever this man speaks, the Holy Spirit does. That is the anointing that comes by the Holy Ghost. That's the anointing of the last man, Adam. Whatever he says, the Holy Spirit does. Okay? So if Jesus says, all right, you men, you go, in my name, heal the sick. The Holy Spirit hears that, and him being infinite and in all places at the same time, in essence, he can go with each of those two as they go off in different directions, and whatever they say in the name, he performs. It's an exact type of what the church is supposed to be doing today, only we even have it better. For us, it's not just a temporary anointing. He's given that to us to abide. We have his nature on the inside. We have all been baptized in the Holy Ghost. But now it's time to start walking in some of that authority. Yes, sir. See, it's kind of like, well, what if he'd have said that to those 70? And we looked at it this morning. I'm not going to read all that again. We're going to get into the second part. But what if he'd have said, I want you to go two by two and go heal the sick. Whatever you say, my Father's Spirit's going to do it. Now to go tell them that the kingdom has come. Or do it. Bye. And everybody leaves but two of them. And he's going, well, how come you guys haven't left yet? Well, we don't have any authority. We're waiting till we have it. He says, I just told you that you have it. But how do we know we have it? I just told you that you have it. Now go. Well, prove to us that way. You can see the dilemma here. Mm-hmm. If they don't go and if they don't believe it and go act on it, I mean, even though they've really got it, it's not going to do anything unless they go do something with it. Right. Yeah. See that? And that's kind of where the church is. It's like, well, I'll go as soon as you give me that authority. And he goes, we're going to look at it here in just a minute. I've already given you that authority. Well, how do I know you gave it to me? Well, because it's right here in my word. I said, go ye. And you know, the works that I did, you'll do also. Well, I'll go as soon as you give me the authority. And he's going, well, I've already given you the authority. Mm-hmm. So then a few of us, I like the way Dave says that, especially in the early days, you know. Remember how he's going to save the world in a week? You know? Boy, as early, especially, you know, it's bad enough when you got saved. Then when you got baptized in the Holy Ghost, ready to charge hell with a water pistol. Here we go. Like Dave says, you know, charge hell with a water pistol. Some of us did. I'm going to go pray for every person in the hospital. And what he says is like, yeah, you charged hell with a water pistol, all right. Got your eyebrows burnt smooth off. You come back and go, maybe I didn't have quite the authority that I thought I had. Well, a big part of it is you went out there trying to stop a bus without wearing the officer's uniform. Even though, really, see, we looked last week at the two put-ons. There's a verse that's in between the two put-ons. What I mean by the two put-ons is in one chapter he says, put on the new man. The other chapter, chapter 6, he says, put on the armor of God. Well, that's really the policeman's uniform analogy. And we're going out there looking like the world, talking like the world, thinking like the world, and then holding up our stop. And the enemy's going, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Dave, I know. Who are you? Mm-hmm. Well, anyhow, well, I'll tell you one thing that I'm seeing from this passage. When Jesus says you have it, buddy, you have it. So let's go look at the second part of this. So they did go out and they did this, and they healed the sick that were in. They preached the gospel. And Jesus, boy, he flat told him. He said, woe unto you, these cities. If these same works had been done, not just the preaching. Notice he said if the works had been done in Tyre and Sidon. If they'd have seen what we're believing for, the lame to walk, the blind to see, the maimed to be made whole. If they'd have seen that like you're seeing it, Sodom would have repented long ago. Tyre and Sidon would have repented long ago. So, trouble is, in the modern day church, we're not showing the works. We're just preaching the words, for the most part. And they're going, well, why should we believe you? Islam's got words. Buddhists has got words. Mm-hmm. Hindus got words. Why should we believe you? We're coming to a showdown, like Mount Carmel style. Mount Carmel, you know. You prayed in the name of your God. I'll pray in the name of my God. The God who answers by fire, he's God. And how he's going to answer by fire when we pray, the blind are going to see. The lame are going to walk. I'm especially looking forward to that first leg that grows out, televised on national TV. Because they said they saw it in the meeting. Yeah. It didn't grow out slowly, they saw it. They said they saw, they wondered. Boy, I bet they still wonder when they saw the maimed to be made whole. Yes, sir. My second youngest granddaughter just got back from her first missions trip. She's 17, will be this year, I think. And went to Old Mexico. And the juniors get to go. There was a class went with her about 20 kids, I think. Anyway, she come over. She had all these pictures she wanted to show Papa and Mimi. So we were watching that right not long before I come over here. And she's telling. I said, "Well, tell me what all happened besides these pictures." She said, "Papa, we prayed for this sick person. He come limping in. He'd been in an accident. His ankle was swole up, just something awful. And we prayed. And one guy put his hands on his ankles while the rest of us put our hands on him and prayed." And we watched while the swelling went down. Her little eyes were just... You know, I'm letting her go. I'm letting her go. You know, I'm giving her plenty of rope. Because Papa's been preaching a long time, you know. I said, really? And then I said, what, did he act any different? He said, act any different. He started jumping around and hollering. And he was just, he was so happy. And I said, well, tell me about some other things. So there was, she saw several healings and saw several miracles, you know. And I said, Ashley, you mean to tell me this is true? You think I should go preach this? And she goes, yes, Papa, I think you should. You know. Isn't that wonderful? See, that's what Dave says all the time. You'll find it all the time going to a third world country. You know, Dave says that all the time. He says you could have 1 foot in Sandy, you know, in California, 1 foot in Baja, and have the two prayer lines, one in USA, one over here. The ones in Baja, splat, 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 they're getting healed. The ones over here going, why isn't it working? Well, the accountability factor is a lot different, for one thing, in this nation. Dave says they used to tell him it's because they had all the faith in the world over there. And really, the exact opposite is the case. They have no faith at all. So they have no accountability at all. They're depending completely on your faith, and that's why they're receiving as little babies. Now, the problem is many of them won't stay healed unless they get taught. Because the devil will bring those circumstances again, they'll lose it. But anyway, that's another whole deal. Well, anyway, I was really happy about Ashley, and she's had an encounter with God now. See, she's born again, spirit-filled, but now she's had an encounter with the reality of God. And y'all know how that is. You're not ever the same after that. I'm looking forward to what's coming now. Anyhow, well, let's start here in verse 17 then. So the 70, they went on their journey, and they came back with joy. Boy, we're going to be full of joy. I'm telling you, you haven't even seen what fun is yet till we start having revival around here. And they're saying, and notice the first thing they said, it was like they knew they were going to be healing the sick, or at least that's what Jesus told them. But in his discourse to them right then, it didn't say anything about casting out devils. And notice, the way I read this, it's almost like they're, did you know that even the devils were subject to us through thy name? I mean, we found out something, Master. Devils! They had to obey. Subject unto us means those devils had to do what we said. That's a good... Right here. Say, devil. Every devil. In Jesus' name. You are subject to me.
You have to do what I say.
Now, right there is where we've got to get now, see. And I mean standing right there in front of cancer. Not all cancer is necessarily a devil. A lot of it is. But all cancer is of the enemy. All cancer, all sickness of any kind is all because of the fall. Okay? So anyway, these devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, look, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. See, that had to be before the beginning of the world. Because Satan, Lucifer, was already fallen, already cast out. He showed up in the garden just right away. You know? So what Jesus is talking about is in his pre-incarnate form, he saw Satan as lightning. I mean, just boom. It didn't take, in other words, was it hard to get him out? Whew, like lightning falling. How quick is that? But there was a war, I know, but I don't think it was hard. Anyway, behold, now here's our verse. Behold. I give unto you power, and that's that Greek word exousia again, that's authority, to tread on serpents and scorpions. Now, some people have stopped right there, and they've said, now see there, snake handling is what we need to do, see? We need to get a bunch of rattlesnakes and deadly, those big black scorpions. If you've ever seen them out in the desert, they can get to be about a foot long, those big black ones. And we need to bring those in, and we can prove our faith by handling these rattlesnakes. No, you're going to prove you're dumb to me. You got to stay with the Bible. And what he's talking about there, in the natural, it would be like that time that that serpent crawled out of the fire. You know, Paul had some firewood, and he tossed it in there. Well, as soon as that serpent felt the heat, it bit Paul. And it was a real deadly serpent. And to the villagers thought, well, if you get bit by that thing, you die. This man must be a murderer that somehow got away. But God's judging him. But they watched. and he didn't have any ill effect at all. And that's what Jesus said, if you drink any deadly thing, it's not going to harm you. So in the natural, he is talking about even natural poisons, as long as you're out doing his work. Now, he's not saying do something foolish like go handle a rattlesnake or handle scorpions. But in the course of his work in your life, if something like that happens, you have scripture to say that poison will not harm me. Now, boy, that world will never go with you on that. You better go with it anyway. But see, that's just types and shadows. He's saying in the same way that a serpent or a scorpion normally could hurt you, but I'm telling you, they can't hurt you. But in that same way, I'm giving you power not only over those kind of things, but over all the power of the enemy. And if I'm not mistaken, that word there is dunamis. Dunamis. Okay? Now, dunamis is dynamite. That's where we get our word dynamite. So he's talking about you have authority over all the devil's dynamite. He can't use it against you. Sure seems like he's using it against me. Sure seems like it. I hear explosions all around the place. Can't you hear those explosions? Well, that's the only thing the devil has, is natural things trying to come at you. But the truth of the matter is, he's plainly telling them, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That does not agree with my experience, Brother Gary, what I have seen on planet Earth. Well, you're in danger right now of changing the Bible, let's say it this way, of accepting doctrine that's been formed by your experience. And that's what most of the church has done. Because they prayed and the person died anyway, they come up with doctrines like, well, it must not always be God's will to heal. Trouble is, you can't find anything like that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Even the case where they couldn't get that epileptic or lunatic boy delivered, Jesus was not happy with that situation. He says, step aside. What does he do? He gets the boy delivered, which tells us he doesn't do anything that's not the will of the Father. So that tells us it was the Father's will to heal that boy all the time, even when they were praying in their unbelief. It was his will. Amen. Amen. That amen. Even when they were praying in their unbelief. So we cannot change what the Bible says. We can't form our doctrine or let experience change what the Bible says. Father, thy word is truth. Now, the truth will change the facts, and the truth will change you. The truth will change me. We have got to stay with this word. I don't care if you rub people's heads bald trying to pray for them, and they all die for the next 10 years. Believers shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And we're not going to be moved off what the word says. Okay? Behold, I give unto you power. So here we go again now, see. What's got to happen? Let's just agree just for a moment with the Lord. Jesus has given unto me. Come on now, say it like you mean it. Jesus has given unto me authority over serpents and scorpions. I have authority over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, see. Let's say it again. Let's just back up here and say, in the name of Jesus, every devil is subject unto me. They have to do what I say. I have been authorized by the King of Kings, the second man, the last Adam, to have power and authority over serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. See that? Let's go a little bit more. If words mean anything, it means this. Say, devil, you can't hurt me. Doesn't that hit you a little bit stronger? You see how we don't believe it? The fact that it's hitting you that way when we said that tells you, I don't know if I want to say that or not, see. Yeah, I know. That's where we got to go. Isn't that what he just said? No, if nothing shall by if no power of the enemy shall by any means hurt me, does that not mean, devil, you can't hurt me? Let's do it again. Devil.
Devil.
I don't care what you think.
I don't care what you think.
You can't hurt me.
You can't hurt me.
I tell you, the church is going to stop being a sniveling, whining, fearful, hidden in the bushes, oh God, the devil's after me bunch. And we're going to rise up into who we really are. And all these Goliaths that have been out there just threatening you to, I'm going to step on you. Every Goliath out there, we're going to take five smooth stones. If you didn't hear that message, you ought to hear it. Five smooth stones, which is the revelation knowledge from meditating the word that you've rolled over. You're going to take the word of God and you're going to sling it at him. And the Holy Spirit's going to direct it and bring him down right before you. I think Fred it was told me, he said, did you ever notice that when he fell forward? I never had noticed that. He fell forward. Watch the picture there. Goliath fell prostrate before David, which really means he fell prostrate before the Lord. I like that. That's a good one. Hallelujah. That's a good one. I never had noticed that. All right. Let's go back to Ephesians for a minute. No. Okay. All right. We'll come back to Luke later. Go to Ephesians. Not tonight. Wednesday night, probably. Now, we're going to do it again. I'm just going to read it this time instead of all of you trying to say it out loud with me. But no, I'm being corrected. You're going to repeat after me. I want you to see how to pray these two prayers. And maybe it would be good to have it on the tape anyway. All right? And make it into a positive tense confession. The men that I've been reading after, Smith Wigglesworth, John G. Lake, others that have walked in this, I find that they to a man, they say, or to a woman even, one way, they don't use the same words, but one way or another, they all say this is not something that you can just mentally walk in. This has to be a revelation in your spirit. This has to be something revealed to you by God. And that's why Paul, and I never noticed it before this week, that's why Paul, he doesn't just tell them, he prays this for them. Meaning this is, they're already born again. He already said in chapter 1, they've already been given every spiritual blessing that there is. Yet he prays for them here and near the end of this chapter. He's going, Father, you're going to have to reveal this to them. So I'm going to say it and you're going to repeat it after me if you don't mind. We'll just make this into a positive tense confession starting in Ephesians 1:16. Say, Father, I am praying.
Father, I am praying.
You are the God of my Lord Jesus Christ.
You are the God of my Lord Jesus Christ.
The Father of glory.
The Father of glory.
Father,
Father,
give unto me
the spirit of wisdom
and revelation
in the knowledge of him.
Father, I pray
that the eyes of my
understanding
be enlightened,
that I might know
what is the hope of your calling
and what the riches of the glory
of your inheritance in the saints.
And what is the exceeding greatness
of your power to me,
who believes,
and it's according to the working of your mighty power,
which you wrought in Christ,
when you raised him from the dead,
and set
him
at your own right hand
in the heavenly places.
Far above
all principality
and power
and might
and dominion
and every name that is named,
not only in this world,
but also in that which is to come.
Father, you have put all things
under his feet,
and you gave him
to be the head
over all things to the church.
I'm part of that church.
I'm part of his body.
The fullness of him. That fills all in all.
Hallelujah.
One of the ministers said he prayed that a minimum of 2 times a day for 6 months. For himself first. And that was after a long period of fruitlessness. Anybody know anything about that? And he was trying. He was full-time in ministry. He was having some results. Some people were getting saved. Some people were getting healed. But he had... we've got a lot of people in here that need help. So on Saturday nights, he started having deliverance services, I think he called it at first. And if you want to come get delivered, he said, boy, the people came. They were excited. And for weeks, we had these Saturday night deliverance services, you know, and boy, we jumped. We used the name of Jesus. We shouted. They fell. They twitched. They ran. They did everything. And, you know, he says, I noticed they weren't changed very much after we finished that for a while. So then I thought, well, what we need then is to get our people free. So he announced a series of get free meetings on Saturday night. He said the same people that had come to get delivered now came to get free. We did the same kind of things again, you know. And this went on for like almost a whole year. This whole, you know, there was a third one. I can't remember the name of it. There was deliverance, get free, and one other thing. And he says at the end of that, he goes, I'm not willing to live the rest of my life like this. Where I pray and do everything that I know to do, and the people stay the same. I'm not going to live the rest of my life like this. So he started getting into the Word, specifically in this passage. And this prayer and the other one we're going to do here in a minute. A minimum of 2 times a day, he would pray that for himself. Now see, it's okay. There's more than one kind of prayer. We've been teaching on the prayer of petition. The prayer of petition you ask one time. You believe, you receive when you pray. That's it. And then you shall have it. You only ask Him once. He's not deaf. He heard you when you asked. But these would be for specific type things. Like, Father, I need a job. Father, I need a car. Father, I need somebody, you know, whatever. Where other people are not involved, okay? But when you need a complete revelation, when you need something as tremendous as what this is, listen, it's going to come in stages and little pieces. That's why you keep praying something like this. He said it was 6 months. And he says all of a sudden that prayer started to be answered. The Bible just started opening up to him. He says, I'd already read the Bible through over 100 times. And he says, understanding began to come to me. And he says, I said to my wife, what in the world have I been preaching? See? Well, the Lord told me one time, from a future date, we'll look back on these days and we're going to laugh that it ever seemed so hard. Once we're in the revival and looking back at these days, we're just going to say, what were we preaching? You know, what were we thinking? Okay? All right, let's look at the other one while we're here then. We'll get it on tape too. Hallelujah. All right, we'll just start in Ephesians 3:14. And I'll just, as we go through here, I'll just make it into a, this is how you do it, make it into a present tense confession. I started to do this for you and put it on paper and print it out. And he reminded me back of the Bible study days when he said, I want your attitude to be, the people that's coming could not find the book of Mark with both hands. That's the way he said it. So I did everything. You know, I printed everything out ahead of time. If you failed, it wasn't going to be my fault. You understand? You know? Yeah. But I'm not teaching that group now, am I? I mean, you're the Sunday night, calling in the lost, third service, fast will go faster bunch. You can make your own cotton-picking confessions. You can be making copies and giving out to the babies, okay? All right. So here we go, verse 14. Just say it after me. I bow my knee unto the Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Father, grant unto me, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might by your Spirit in my inner man, that Christ may dwell in my heart by faith, that I be rooted and grounded in love, so I may be able to comprehend with all saints What is the breadth?
What is breadth?
And length?
And length?
And depth?
And depth?
And height?
And height?
And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that I might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him. Yes, sir, we need to do that too. So Father, unto You, that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that I ask or think, according to the power that works in me, unto You be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Would you be willing to, how long does that take to do both of those prayers? Less than 5 minutes?
Yes.
Could we take 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day? I know I'm not going to be able to memorize it right away, so for myself, I'm going to copy those out. I'll probably change them into a confession. Print them on something I can carry in my shirt pocket. Or put it on my iPhone. Put it on my iPhone. So that I can have this with me. I don't want to forget. How many good intentions have we had? See? You know? How many good intentions? I've already backslid about 8 pounds from where I was, and I needed to go 15 more from there. I'm getting a, stop talking about good intentions. They don't really get you anywhere. You know, we've got to really do this. So that's my plan, is to put it on a 3x5 card or something I can carry in my pocket. I will probably put it on my iPhone. You can also put written things on your iPod too. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, Adobe things. So it's a wonderful thing.
Okay.
And so we're going to have to do this. But I don't know why it never dawned on me before that Paul prayed this for the people, that the Father would give it to them. Which tells me it's something beyond just study. Now, we do have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. He talks about that in Ephesians. We do have, like Romans 12, he says, if we're going to not walk like the world, we've got to be renewed in our mind, okay? But that information, it's not mental power that gets this done. We don't walk in that authority mentally. We walk in that authority spiritually. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What's happening here now, this kind of transformation is the Chuck the Duck kind. It is. It's the Chuck the Duck kind. It was not just a, and again, y'all have heard that parable many times. A duck named Chuck was raised by a bunch of chickens, and they told him he was a chicken. He really wasn't a chicken, but he's raised by chickens. That's kind of like the Christians in the churches we've been in. They're telling you you're powerless. They're telling you you don't have any authority. You're really just an old sinner saved by grace. They're telling you you're an Old Testament Christian when that's really not the truth.
Amen.
You know what I mean, Old Testament Christian. Let's say Old Testament believer. When that's really not who you are not still a sinner by nature, forgiven by His grace. You were a sinner by nature and got forgiven. You got forgiven by His grace. But now my Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And the best word there is species. You are not at your core a sinner. It's in Ephesians. It's right here in Ephesians chapter 4. And he tells us how this change has to happen. Starting in verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. That old man, sure enough, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, the way he's saying that, the spirit of your mind, just for tonight, I'm going to offer you this. You can take it or leave it. He's talking about your mind being transformed by spiritual revelation. See? Otherwise, why put that the way it is? In the spirit of your mind. There is, if you really listened to Dave's messages on distinguishing God's voice, he goes into great detail how you have a natural mind, you also have a spiritual mind. That spiritual mind is the one that gets taught by the Holy Ghost when you're praying in other tongues. That language is a mystery to you, your natural mind. It is not a mystery to your spiritual mind.
Your spiritual mind is receiving instruction that it perfectly understands from the Holy Ghost. Now, it translates that into a form, if you'll allow me, and reveals that. It reveals that to your natural mind. But renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, this revelation comes from the inside out. That's why he's saying we've got to put on this new man. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, in verse 24, and put on that new man. Well, what new man is that? That's the one that was created in your spirit. That is the little S guy. That is the spirit of Christ. It is the spirit of God. It is the part of you that is really God's child. It's the part of you that's been birthed from the spiritual loins of the last man, Adam, if you'll allow me. It's his nature in us. It's the seed of him. There's so many ways you can say it, see. But it comes in like a mustard seed. You know, he taught that again and again. It's like a mustard seed. Now, it's got the potential to grow up and be the biggest tree in the whole garden. In other words, he can become everything in your life. He can take over pornography. That big old tree will drive out greed and lasciviousness and pornography and all of that stuff, see. And you put on the new man by transformation, but it's from the inside out. All right? But that new man, what you've got to understand, he is created in righteousness. Now, everyone say created.
Created,
created means it wasn't there before. Helena is an obedient person. But isn't that right? If something is created, it means it wasn't there before. And that's there. Well, this new man in you wasn't there the instant before you got born again. There was some other guy there. Well, he died when you received Jesus. He did. He died. He's crucified. Ah! Splat. Gone. So you'd just be dead unless there had to be a new man created in you. Well, that new man is spawned from the spiritual loins, if you'll allow me, of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he's called the last Adam. What does Adam do? What did the first Adam do? He spawned a whole race. I'd rather say species. He spawned a whole species of man. See, I don't care what color we are, do we, Helena? It's not my fault I don't have the good color. You know? It's not my fault. I didn't have any choice in the matter, did I? But we're not different races. I don't know what the world would say, but I'll tell you one thing. We're the same species. This is my sister right here. We got the same daddy.
Same daddy.
Same daddy. That's right. See? But it's a new species. Doesn't matter what your color is or anything like that. It matters who your daddy is. You know, he is your daddy. He's your father. Amen? And that new man is created from the get-go. Be encouraged. Part of you is holy. That's good news. Hallelujah. That's good news. Part of you is holy. And he's in there. He may be in there like a little seed right now. I mean, he's going, but boy, the potential of that guy. And if we can ever put him from the inside to the outside and wear him like a garment, I'm telling you, that devil, when you start walking up, that one looks like, I've met that guy before, that looks like the Son of God right there. That's that armor of God, it's his armor, you look like him. But that's when righteousness is no more just positional. That's why another prayer I'm praying right now, and I don't care if you like it or don't like it, I like it. I want to hate iniquity like he hates it. In Hebrews it says, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. I don't hate it enough. There's some things I really do hate. I hate alcohol now. You can't pay me enough to take a drink. Finally, thank you, Jesus, I hate tobacco. I don't even like to be around the stuff anymore. You know, I can't believe I ever did it now. I did it for 42 years. Isn't that stupid? How stupid can a man be and still walk? But anyway, sorry. You know, God doesn't know enough to come in out of the rain. But anyhow... But there's other things. I'm going to take an easy one. Gluttony. I didn't have to go there. Now you want me to still keep preaching for 2 hours? Now do you want me to? Yeah, okay. Let me ask you this. Do you think Jesus ever... What do you think about his nature, really? I'm not saying he wouldn't sometimes eat more than other times. Do you think he had a lifestyle of eating too much?
No.
I don't think so either. So again, it's just one more thing. See, what he's really not after is the diets. We have to do that That's what you have to do before you're transformed. I hate to say it that way, but that's the truth. Because once you're really transformed, there's nothing in you that wants to do that anymore. Your flesh might. But see, that's the difference. We have a hard time distinguishing between flesh and the flesh man and him. That's why we've got to put him on as a garment. Can you tell there's a lot to come in this? Okay? But I'm telling you, I'm glad I wish he was here. I'm glad I go to this church. I have hope. I know we've seen a lot of devastation. I know all through the church, okay? And I think, in a way, that's, the enemy is just kicking and screaming. I think he's afraid. He's going, what's wrong with you people? How come you haven't been run off yet? You know, he's going, I've thrown this at you. I've thrown that at you. What are you doing here? Well, we're here, aren't we? We're not going to go quietly into the night either. Yeah, we're going to take the light into the night. Amen. If you don't remember anything else this week, remember this. There is no such thing as a dark switch. When it says you have been delivered from the authority of darkness. I got it. Darkness, there's no such thing as a dark switch. If the room is light, he cannot come in and take any authority. He cannot, there is no switch he can flip to enforce darkness over your light. We have been delivered from that. Only way you can operate in darkness, you got to turn off the light. Glad I'm not preaching to me. You're dismissed.